Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's awesome to be home. Amen. See all your smiling faces and hug your necks and shake your hands, and it's great to be here. And I'm looking forward to a lot of positive, outstanding things in 2016 as well. In fact, I am sure, Brother Schumacher, that I am going to Jerusalem in 2016. Amen. Hopefully more than one way. But we're actually going to be there for Tammy's birthday this year. We're going to celebrate her birthday in Jerusalem, so I can't wait. And maybe we'll just go home from there. Amen? Amen. But it's an honor to be here. It's an honor to preach in your pulpit. I give you and Sister Schumacher honor. And it's great to be home. It's great to be here. I love everybody here. Miss all you fine folks. Amen. We have about 85 on Sunday morning. And so it's different being in a church like this. Our building looks the same, except for it's just a lot smaller. It's got the same wood things up and things like that. It was built back when they built a lot of these buildings like that, back in the 50s, I think. But it's good to be here. Pastor Portman and your wife, I give you honor, too, to be here. Appreciate being invited here to speak again. And it's always great to come home. I try not to think about, you know, while I'm there, here too much, because I get lonely and depressed. Thinking about my kids, thinking about what they're doing. So you get the old tablet out and you Skype, you know, and you can see each other and you look at each other and, you know, you'll be able to do that. So technology is great, isn't it? Amen. That's pretty awesome. But God's good, and, you know, God's the same in Minnesota as he is in here, and he's the same in Iowa as he's here, right? I mean, God is God, and he is God no matter what, no matter where we are. And we feel his presence in Minnesota, and we have moves of God, and people get the Holy Ghost, and, you know, we have, you know, we fill the altars and dance, and we have a great time, and, you know, God is good as well. But there is something about this church that is a little different. There's a freedom here that's not everywhere. You know, God might be the same, but the people are different. And there's a freedom here that allows worship to happen, that allows us to praise God, that allows us to lift God up, that allows the Holy Ghost to move in our midst. And I'm going to try and attempt to, like an onion, peel back a few layers of exactly what the difference is, and want to share some things today that maybe I can teach something that'll help you have a breakthrough if you need a breakthrough. Amen. Amen. We have a great time. We're reaching people. We're teaching people. Tammy and another lady have started a quiz team. Amen. It's awesome. We have one quizzer, so we have to quiz with another church. But a year and a half ago, she was a Muslim. Her family was Muslim. And they've come into the church. She's 14 years old. She's brilliant. Her name is Yelly Natu. And we went to our first quiz in January. In December. First part of December. And she quizzed for the very first time. They didn't have teams. They just picked numbers and had people come up. And it's a lot smaller district. There's like 42 churches in the whole state. And so we have these quizzers up here, and they're quizzing, and she got a red ribbon, her very first quiz. That's just awesome to see. So, it's, amen. It's great to be here the first Sunday of 2016, and so we'll get right into, turn to Genesis chapter 38. Verse 27, we'll start at. Judah's wife was about to have a baby. Verse 27, and it came to pass when she travailed that the one put out his hand And the midwife took and bound upon his hand a scarlet thread, saying, "This came out first." Here's the first one. And it came to pass that as he drew back his hand, that behold, his brother came out, and she said, "How hast thou broken forth? This breach be upon thee." Therefore his name was called Perez. And afterward came out his brother that had the scarlet thread upon his hand, and his name was called Zerah. And then turn real quick, if you would, to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. First Chronicles chapter 4, verse 1. Judah just had twin sons we read about. But then you read in chapter 4 where it lists the genealogy of Judah, and it says, the sons of Judah, Perez, Hezron, Camari, Hur, and Shobal. Someone's missing, aren't they? Someone is missing. Today I'm going to talk about what praise produces. Amen. Jesus, we pray, God, that you will allow your spirit to minister today. God, we have come into this house and we have praised you. We have lifted up your name. We have jumped in the water that is here. We have swum around. We have splashed. We have played. We have felt your presence. And I pray right now, God, that you'll continue to minister as your word goes forth. Allow this vessel, Lord God, these lips of clay, Lord God, just anoint me, Lord God, that someone today could feel your spirit in their darkest night. We pray, Jesus, in your name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I was at work one day, way back, pre-kids, and my wife came to visit me. She was 8 months pregnant, and she said, "Hey, baby, I just got back from the doctor. Guess what? The doctor heard 2 heartbeats. I said, "Yeah, yours and the baby's, no big deal." She goes, no, you don't understand. The doctor heard 2 heartbeats. I got to go back for an ultrasound. And I'm like, "Oh, okay, what does that mean?" They had told us that Tammy was pregnant and she had a tumor growing inside her as long as with the baby. But they would just let it develop and just take it out when the baby came out. There was nothing to be alarmed of. Well, here come to find out, we were going to have twins. So we went back to the doctor and realized, hey, you know, 8 months along and we finally find out we're going to have twins. So when I read in the Bible and I find someone had twins, it kind of has a little more meaning to me than maybe you're reading it yourself. And there's not too many births in the Bible that are given in a lot of detail. But here, this birth is given a lot of detail. And we have come into an apostolic church. And in apostolic church, we talk a lot about new births. Amen? Everyone wants to be born again. Everyone wants to have the Holy Ghost. The old man wants to die. You want to have that new man reign in your life. And that new man live in your life and make decisions for you so you make right decisions. Amen? An apostolic church praises Jesus Christ like no other church. Amen? We saw it this morning. Psalm 135 reads, "Praise the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord. For the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant, and it feels good." Amen? Amen. We know that Judah means praise. Amen? And we have praised this morning. We have looked at praise when we look at each other because we've been doing it. Psalm 150 says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of trumpets. Praise him with the sound of the harp. Praise him with the timberland dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals, upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Amen? Amen. That's one of the reasons that people are drawn to an apostolic church, because there is praise here. Christians do a lot of things. If you look at the Christianity worldwide, Christians do a lot of things in church. And sometimes they think that apostolic worship is over the top. But it's not. This is the normal. Amen? But I'm going to talk about a spirit of Zera this morning that tries to stifle the blessings of God in church. There was a church just in the news last week, the week before, in Tennessee that got taken to court because they were too loud in church. You read about that church? The church in Tennessee. It was another faith that wasn't a United Pentecostal church, but it was a Baptist church. They got taken to court because they were too loud. So they told them they had to settle down. They actually arrested the pastor. Right here in America, folks, there is a spirit. Judah means praise, and I'm not going to talk about Judah today. We all know and we've heard about Judah. What I want to talk about is Judah's offspring. What does praise produce? What will praise produce in your life? I know what I look like, but before you have kids, you wonder, what's your kid's going to look like? You know, my kid's going to look like me. They're going to look like their mom. And after they're born, it's like, oh, they look like their dad. Oh, I see their mom and their eyes, their dad and their lips and the tongue is this and the ears are that, you know. It's like everybody wants to say they look like them, right? I have a nephew, Ethan. His son looks, if you looked at his baby pictures and his son, they look exactly the same. I mean, it's uncanny. It looks like he was cloned. But what does praise offspring look like? If you allowed praise to be birthed in your life, in your spirit, what would that look like? Amen. We talked about these twins came out. The first one stuck his arm out. And the midwife tied a scarlet thread around saying, this is the firstborn. But he pulled it back in. He withdrew his birth. I'm not getting out yet. I'm not ready. And the other one said, let me out. I want out of here. And the Bible says that he created a breach, a crack. He went forth. Amen. Zera, the first one that stuck his hand out, meant dawn or morning or new start. But he drew his hand back, and then we read the genealogy. He's not even included in the genealogy of Judah. In fact, if you look at his family life, I tried to study it out. It only goes 3 generations, and then there is no more. You see nothing from his bloodline. But the other sons were mentioned in the bloodline of Jesus Christ. Pretty powerful. The other twin, Perez, that name means broke forth. His twin brother means broke forth, or a place of victory. It means it's a breach. It means a breach or an opening or a crack. You know, you've all seen pictures of a whale breaching the water. And they come up out of the water. That's called a breach. And this is what that person did. They breached out of their mother. And sometimes life happens to you and I. Sometimes we get bound up in the life's, I call it the devil's D's. We can get doubt, and then we let doubt deceive us, and then we get discouraged, and then depression sets in, and then we grow distant, and then we become degenerate. Amen? But praise enables us to break forth to a place of victory. If you want God to touch you, first you have to reach out in faith and praise him. Like Pastor said this morning, if you say, Jesus, I love you, 3 or 4 times, you're bound to feel his power come down and touch you. Amen? It's going to happen. The devil doesn't care if you come here and attend church. The devil doesn't even care if you give in the offerings. Amen? But he does not want you to praise Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you to lift up your hand. He wants you to draw it back and say, no, I'm not going to lift my hands up. I'm not going to praise. He wants you to, he doesn't want victory in your life. If you worship him, anointing will break forth and you will have a victory. Amen? Amen. Some examples in the Bible, people that Sarah, she offered up to God just an elderly, wrinkly body, and a child, a baby, broke forth. Moses, all he had was a rod in his hands. He offered God his rod, and miracles began to happen. Amen? Gideon, he had 300 men, pitchers, lamps, some trumpets, and he offered it to God, and he took out 170,000 Midianites. Samson, he picked up the jawbone of a donkey and killed 1,000 Philistines. Amen? David, he picked up a slingshot, and he left a dead bear. He left a dead lion. He left a dead giant. Amen? If you just pick up what you have and say, Jesus, I'm going to offer this to you. Here I am. I'm going to break forth. I'm going to make a breach. I'm going to make a crack in my life. I'm going to do like the whale and breach the water. I'm going to lift my hands up and say, here I am. And if you worship him, he will give you the victory. There's examples sitting here today. Amen? How will we overcome the spirit of Zerah, that twin that pulled his hand back in? We have to overcome that spirit and say, not me. I'm not going to pull my hand back in. I'm going to let my hand stretch out. I'm going to break out of this. Amen? Take your praise and break forth. Take the hands that hang down and lift them up. Amen. Don't be like Zerah. Don't have the spirit of Zerah. Take your silent voice and lift it up to praise Jesus Christ. Amen? You will get the victory. But you have to do something. You have to breach your problem. You have to breach the situation. You have to create a crack in it. You have to create something in there to say, Jesus, here I am. Take me. I love you. I worship you. You can choose to break forth and have the victory. Or you can choose to withdraw like the other twin. What was the second son's name? Hezron. What does that mean? Hezron means a courtyard or a place surrounded with a wall of protection. That's what praise will produce in your life if you praise him. Do you need protection in your life? Do you need a hedge around your family? Do you need a hedge around your soul that the enemy will not be able to penetrate no matter what happens? Then you need to praise Jesus Christ. He's in the courtyard of your life. And the devil can't attack you if you're in this courtyard. If you're enveloped in this praise, Jesus will protect you. Amen? Amen? An enemy tossed three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace one day. Amen? And that was a problem. He threw three of them together because the Bible says where two or three are there, he is in the midst of them. And when we come together like this, it's easy to say, oh, even though I'm in a fire, even though I'm in a trial, even though the situation is not maybe exactly the way I want it to be, I'm still going to raise my hands. I'm still going to praise you because of who you are, because I know what you can do. Amen. He will protect you, and he will bring you through your situation if you will praise him. Amen. I appreciate your testimony, Brother Anthony. That was awesome. Just keep on praising him. He will protect you. He'll be there for you. Amen. Amen. The third son, Carmen. What does that mean? A gardener of a vineyard. Praise becomes a place of production, a place of growth, a place of prosperity, a place that says, hey, I like being around that person. I like, you ever have a person that you just like being around? People that feel good to be around. I mean, it feels like you could draw from them. You're surrounded with them, and you're with them, and you feel good. And then there's other people you're around, man, you feel drained. You get done being with them, and it's like, man, I feel tired. I feel drained. But there's other people, there's praisers. You get around praisers, and it's like, man, I feel good being around that person. I like they're upbeat. And it makes you, because they're a vineyard. They're growing. Amen. They've got grapes that people can pick from. They got food that's growing in their life. And they can have sustenance for their friends and their people because people like to be around them. Amen. People are seeking for a freshness today in this world. Man, there's nothing growing out there. But you can be a vineyard you can have a vineyard in your life. You can go to work and people can say, wow, I like being around that person. What's different about them? Because you got a vineyard growing in you because you're praising. Because you're lifting up God. Even if you're in the middle of your own trial, you could still be a vineyard and feed people and help people. Amen? Look at Job. You know, he was still praising God no matter what happened in his life. He prayed for his friends. He had a vineyard growing in his life. Amen? People are looking for something to sustain them. If you praise him, it's going to produce products in your life that people are going to want to come to and gain information from, gain a spirit from that you have that they want, that they desire. Amen. You'll not only be able to take sustenance from the praise that you give, but you'll be able to give it out. Amen. Your life will grow, and you'll help people grow around you. Amen. The fourth son was Hur. Talking about what praise produces. These are products of praise. These were praise sons. Hur means white linen or purity. People that are praisers know what it means to stay close to God. You see someone sitting on the sideline, they don't have their praise on. Someone stops coming to church, it's usually because they got their praise off. They quit praising God a long time ago. David lived with a dead, critical spirit. His wife made fun of him when he was praising God. A worldly spirit will always make fun of praise. A worldly spirit will always try to shut down praise. A worldly spirit will never understand why we praise like we do. You're still in that trial. Your bills still aren't paid. You still got that sickness. Why are you still praising God? Amen? Amen? Amen. That's what David's wife did. She was very critical of him, and God took that seriously. God dried up her womb, and she was never able to have children. She was never able to produce an offspring because she was critical of praise. If you let a critical spirit get on you, it will cause you to be barren. You won't want to get up and worship. We've got to defeat that spirit today. Amen. It's not my style to lift up my hands or to shout or to sing or to dance. Church, don't let the devil steal your praise. If you feel the devil slide into your pew, if you feel a critical spirit coming on you, that's when you need to lift up your hands and say, Jesus, I'm going to praise you anyway. Jesus, it doesn't matter. I'm sorry. I'm going to lift up my hands and praise you. Amen. That's how you can know if you feel a critical spirit in your heart because you don't want to lift up your hands. You don't feel like praising God. Let me tell you, if you have a critical spirit upon you, if you feel a heaviness on you when it's time to worship, then you need to worship. Amen. The demonic person that lived in the Gadarenes dragged all his demons to Jesus. And so we can bring to Jesus anything in our life. It doesn't matter. Jesus will take care of it. Amen? Amen? Praise will allow you to break through. The devil hates praise because it will loosen up the grip that he has on you. Praise will create a place of protection. It will help you stay pure and white like linen. Praise will make you surrounded by growth and protection. Praise will help you fight off spiritually wilderness and that critical spirit. And the last son, Shoba. What does that mean? It means a place of overflowing. The root word is as of the flowing of a wedding gown of a bride. The devil's going to show up. The devil does not want to have you praise God. Amen? And so the spirit of the second twin is going to show up and say, don't praise God. Don't lift up your hands. But in order to be overflowing, you have to be full, right? This is not overflowing because it's not full. But in order to be overflowing, and Shabbat was a place of overflowing, you have to be full. The only way you can get full is to lift up your hands and say, Jesus, here I am, fill me. And you praise him and you empty yourself out to him. And he in turns comes back and just opens up the windows of heaven like a bucket and fills you up. Amen. If you feel empty this morning, you just need to get your praise on. If you don't feel like you're overflowing like Shabbat, you just need to get your praise on. Amen. If you're a praiser, you're going to be an overflower. And then you're going to go to work and you're going to be overflowing and you're going to be wanting to talk to people about what's in your life. And you're going to say, hey, what's going on? And you're going to witness to people. Amen. My wife is the receptionist at Super Value. We get to ride to and from work together. And she gets to meet everybody that comes under the door. And there's certain people that work there a lot. And she gets to talk to them. And she's just overflowing. She's like a river. She just bubbles up. And she talks to these people. And she witnesses to them. And she's just, you know, that's what she is. She's just a place of overflowing. She's just allowing the light to shine through her. In the lunchroom, there's a lunch lady there. And she's been talking to her. And she's been saying, hey, you know. And she's been sharing the good things of God with her. And I just watch her. And it's just beautiful to see that she's just a praiser. She's an overflowing person. Amen. The devil doesn't care if you're here, like I said, or if you're giving the offering or whatever, but he does not want you to be a praiser. He doesn't want you to prepare yourself to be the bride. If you just attend, that's okay, but if you're going to start preparing yourself, if you're going to start making your garment white, if you're going to start being overflowing, if you're going to start putting a hedge of protection around you, he does not like that. Amen. Psalm 77. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. My wife and I ride to work together. She reads the Bible to me on the way to work. We read this psalm just a little bit ago. So read that Psalm 77 again. What was this writer going through when he wrote this? I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. So he's saying, I'm crying to God, and I know God's listening to me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. So here we know we should seek God in the day of our trouble, right? When things are going bad, we should what? Come to church, seek God. I got a problem in my life. I got an issue in my life. So that's what he's going to do. He's seeking God. And then he said, my sore ran into the night. Man, it didn't even last a day. It went all night. My problem went all night. And it says, and it ceased not. My problem lasted all night. It wouldn't go away. Anyone can relate to that? My issue is constant. This sickness won't go away. This problem that I have, my soul is not resting from it. My soul refuses to be comforted. Nothing is going to fix my issue. I'm in the middle of this problem, and I'm praying to God, and I'm asking God to help me, and I know God's listening, but God, are you there? I got a problem. Nothing's fixing it. Verse 3, I remembered God and was troubled. In other words, I remembered God, but it didn't help me any. I remembered that Jesus Christ is Lord and King, but it's not helping me any. My wife read a quote to me this morning. It says, miserable people focus on things they hate about their life. Happy people focus on things they love about their life. Amen? But here he says that he's complaining to God. His spirit's overwhelmed. He says, I'm complaining to God, but nothing is helping. Even though I'm taking my complaint to God. Even though I'm saying, God, I'm in this situation, and I've been there all day, and now it's nighttime, and I'm still in this situation, God, and you ain't helping me. What's going on? Verse 4, thou holdest my eyes waking. In other words, I can't sleep, God. I'm in this problem, and I can't get around it. It's bothering me. I'm so troubled I can't even sleep. I'm tossing and turning at night. This thing is worrying me to death. I don't know what's going on in this situation, God, and I've asked you to help me, God, and I know you're there, and I know you care about me, God, but I'm still in my problem. I'm so troubled I can't even speak. I don't even want to talk about it. This person's really going through it. He's writing the heart of a person. This writing is a very rough time, a very dark time in their life. There may be one or two of us that feel like this today. You can relate. I've talked about praise. I've talked about the products, what praise produces. I've talked about Judah's sons, but man, I'm in this situation. How many can relate? You may have trouble invading your life right now. Nothing seems like it's going to fix your issue. I'm still in the same situation. I'm still in the same fix. God, I've come to you and nothing's getting me out of it. You can't sleep at night. You can't eat. You're discouraged. You're down. You're depressed. 2015 wasn't a very good year. And I'm looking and I'm saying, God, are you here? 2016's got to be better. The writer next writes in verse 5, I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. So I started to look back on my life. I'm in this horrible situation I don't want to be in. And I know, God, that you're there. And I started to look back on my life to find out what's going on and to look back at the miracles you've done for me and to look back at the services I've been and to look back at the camps I've gone to and the breakthroughs that I've had there and the winter retreats I've been to and the power of God that moves so much and the altar calls that I remember those things in the prayer meetings, and I remember when he prayed for me and it felt so good, and I was out of, I started to remember. And verse 6 says, I called to remembrance my song in the night. I'm still in my night. I'm still in my situation, but I remembered my praise. I remembered my praise. When I thought about how good God was and how good he's been to me, I remembered even in my nighttime that I have a praise to give my Creator. I am not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. He has taken and redeemed me. He bought me and paid the price for me. No matter what situation I'm in, I can praise him for that. And you can praise God for that. I still have a praise in my life. I have a song in my heart. His present circumstance caused his praise to pause. His dance disappeared. But he stopped looking at himself. He stopped looking at the surrounding where he was at. He stopped looking at the miry clay he was in. He stopped looking at the mud pit he was in. He stopped looking at the pigs he was feeding or whatever situation he was in. You know, he stopped looking at the arm that was broke and the wallet that was empty and the relationship that was disintegrating. And he started looking at Jesus Christ. Amen? Someone said to me this morning, it's about repentance and it's about keeping your eyes on Jesus Christ. In my despair, I forgot that God is still real in my life. And deep down in this darkness of the night, I can still shout, I have a reason to rejoice. We need to get our eyes off our problems and off our issues and give him the praise he deserves. Amen? It doesn't matter what my flesh has to go through. The worms eat me up. It's okay because he is still God of my life. Amen? Anyone here have a breakthrough when your back was against the wall? Has anyone here been forgiven? Has anyone here been set free? Has anyone here been delivered of a habit? Has anyone here been brought out of darkness into light? Has anyone had water given to you when you were thirsty? Or bread given to you when you were hungry? Amen? Has anyone here been shown the way when you were in confusion? Get your eyes off yourself, and I say have a praise today for Jesus Christ. Amen? Put praise in motion. Let praise produce something in you. Let praise give birth in your situation. Amen? Let it give birth in your situation. I remember what it's like to worship God and dance and feel God and feel his anointing on my life. That's what he's saying. I'm in this situation, I'm in this bad problem, but it's coming back. I'm still in my darkness, I'm still in this situation, but I thought it was gone, but I can feel it again. I can feel my foot starting to tap. Amen? I can commune with my own heart. I can think about God even in my bad situation. Amen? Now listen in verse 7. The change that's taken place, even though he's still in the night season, he's remembering his praise. He feels like God's heard his cry, but nothing has changed. Nothing has had power to fix his problems. Anyone can praise in the day. Anyone can praise when things are going good. Anyone can praise when that deposit's been put in your bank account, Anthony. Anyone can praise when things are going good. But in the nighttime, can you remember him? When you see no action on God's part. When you see that God hasn't done nothing for your situation, can you still praise him? Verse 7, will the Lord cast off forever? In other words, will the Lord forget me forever? Will he be favorable no more? Are his blessings gone out of my life? Did I lose his blessings? Verse 8, is his mercy clean gone forever? I'm still in this situation, God. I remembered I got a song. I remember I got a praise, but I'm still here. Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Now the writer is between praise and his victory. He's in no man's land. He's remembered that he has a praise to give, but he's wondering why God would not help him out of his trial and out of his situation yet. I remember the power of my praise, but why am I still in my dilemma? I can praise God and feel good, but why am I still in this dilemma? He's saying all the right things. He's going all through the right motions, but his mind is still in a stage of doubt and disbelief. I have a praise to give, but are you ever going to help me? My hands are raised, I'm at the altar, but I'm still in the dilemma of my darkness. I'm worshiping God, but I'm worshiping God that, are you angry with me, God? And then you know what? You start remembering the sins that you've done. You start remembering your shortcomings. You start remembering that you committed to read the Bible last year and you didn't read the whole thing. You start thinking about, oh, God's mad at me. God hates me. God's judging me. God's letting me be in this situation because he doesn't like me. I've sinned, or I've done this, or I don't measure up. I'm not perfect like so-and-so. You might start looking at other people and say, yeah, they're blessed because of that, and I can't do that. I can't read the Bible like so much, and I, and you just start making excuses, and you think, maybe it's because I got sin in my life, or maybe because God doesn't like me. God's not like that. As much as you love your kids, Jesus Christ loves you that way and even more. You want the best for your children, he wants the best for you. He knows where you're at. He knows what situation you're in. What did I do, God? You're punishing me. Is your love gone away from me? Do you really care? I remember my praise, and I'm doing my praise. But he's in the middle of worship and wonder at the same time. He's rejoicing and questioning in his mind at the same time. And sometimes we make our failures bigger than our God. Amen. We feel like God is just punishing us, that God's acting like we don't deserve his blessing, or he doesn't want to give us something because he wants us to feel the pain. You know, in this world, hurt people hurt people. But hurt God's not going to hurt you. That's not the way he operates. He loves you no matter what situation you're in. He just wants you to come to him. He wants you to create that breach. He wants you to continue. He wants to say, how long will you love me? I know you'll love me if I bless you. Look at Job. I know you'll love me if you have all this stuff. But Job was tested. He was in a dark time. And God brought him through. And that you and I can have the same lesson. Keep praising him. Produce praise in your life no matter what. If you keep praise in your life, Let's look at the progression here. Verse number 10. And I said, this is my infirmity. This is my problem. This is my sickness. This is my Achilles heel. This is my situation. But I will remember the years of the right hand and of the Most High, all the powerful things he hath done. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I'm going to remember the things that he did for me. I'm going to always remember what Jesus Christ did. And on New Year's Eve when we came here, and Brother Schumacher preached an awesome message about what Jesus Christ did for us and why we remember him and why we take communion, that's the Jesus Christ that we can remember what he did for us. And you can think back and say, God, even though I'm in this dilemma, I know what you did for me on Calvary. Even though I'm in my situation, God, I remember what you did for me on Calvary. I remember, Lord God, that you took away my sins, that you redeemed me, that you bought me back. I'll meditate, verse 12, also of thy work and of thy doings. I'm going to think about you, Jesus. I'm going to think about what you did. I'm going to think about how you saved my family. I'm going to think about how after 30-some years, my dad came back into the church, and he's just living for God today very hard. And it's awesome to be there and to see him pray and to watch him. And, you know, God answers prayers. Even though in the night it didn't look like he was going to do anything, it happened. Verse 13, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary or the church. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. There is nobody like my God. There's nobody like my Jesus. He can do anything. He can declare his strength among the people. Verse 15, thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people. You redeemed me. You bought me back to yourself. The sons of Jacob and Joseph and the people at Apostolic Faith Church. Amen. We can remember what Jesus Christ has done for us. Do you understand what happened here? In the middle of all the darkness and the trials, he remembered his heritage. He remembered he had a praise. He had a song in his heart. Praise can produce things in your heart. It can give birth to things in your life. Amen. That nothing else can. Praise is what we are all attracted to when we first came to church. Amen. Sometimes we forget what praise can produce. Amen. Isaiah 12, 1. We all stand, the musicians come. The pool is open. Amen. The pool is open. You can come and jump and swim and praise God, play before him. Isaiah 12 says, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Oh, you were angry with me. Thine anger is now turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He is my praise. He has also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Amen. The well is opened. It is here this morning. In that day ye shall say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. For great is the Holy One in Israel, and he is in our midst. Amen. In the middle of your nighttime trial, you need to come praise him. If you're on the mountaintop and it's daytime and everything is beautiful, you need to praise him. You need to allow praise to produce in you what you need. Praise will give birth in your life and give you what you need. If you need a Ferez, if you need a place of victory, a breaking forth, you can have that today. If you need a Hezron, if you need a courtyard, a place to surround your life so you're protected, you can have that today. If you need a Carmen or a gardener, if you need a garden in your life to produce the fruit, to feed people, to sustain yourself, you can have that today. Her white linen purity. If you want to get close to God and you want to feel him, and as the song says, you want to lay in his arms, he'll be that for you today. Or if you need a place of overflowing and you just want to be like Shaba and you want to have that overflowing and you want to leave here just overflowing so your family feels it and your work people feel it and you want to be a witnesser, you can allow praise to birth these things in your life. Or if you want to continue and have the spirit of Zerah, it's your choice. Amen? It's your choice today. You can allow the spirit of praise to have preeminence in you, or you can have the spirit of Zerah and just draw back and say, not me today, Brother Poplowski. Not me today, maybe another day. I'm not like that. I don't get all excited in church. That's not my personality. I'm glad Jesus didn't say, Father, I don't want to go to the cross. That's really not what I want to do. He prayed and he said, I don't want to drink this cup, but if I have to, I will. Amen. If you need to come drink this morning, come on, the altar's open. Praise Jesus Christ today. Allow praise to be birthed in your life today. No matter what it is, there is a freedom here. You can get what you need, but you need to praise him for it. And he will deliver it to you, even in your nighttime, even in your sorrow, even in your dilemma. If you allow praise to come into your heart, he will praise you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.